Well, g'day, LABC and others. It's good to be here with you, albeit remotely from a long way away. My name is William, for those who don't know me, and yes, if you're not or don't yet consider yourself a part of the Lakes Entrance Baptist Church family and you're watching this, then hello, greetings. It's great to see you or be seen by you here in this context. And for those of you who are family at Lakes, thank you for watching. It's great to have you with us, and I look forward to catching up in person again one day in God's time. I've got a few short thoughts, if I can get my words right, to share with you here and now. Recently, I've been reading the Psalms. I've always been told that they're good to read, and I have been reading them of a morning. My morning devotions, one, two, three psalms of the morning, sometimes just a few segments or sentences, and writing out a short thought on that. And as I've been reading, I've been noting David's theology and asking myself, what does David believe about God? What does what I'm reading tell me about David's understanding of God's character? And what can I learn from that? And here are just a few points that I've written down, and I'm curious to see or to hear what you would find as well. But David has this absolute confidence that God is in ultimate control and that God will have the last word. David is confident about that. There is no ifs, buts, maybes. That is a fact in David's mind. And yet David is also completely confident that God is personal, that God hears him, that God is interested in hearing him, that God will respond to him. He says over and over, I called and you answered. And yet, God is his own boss. He's not a genie in the bottle. God runs on his own time. And how many times does David say, how long, Lord, must I wait until you deliver me? David is confident that God is holy, that God is righteous, that God is good. And yet he has this balance where he says on the one hand that God is holy, righteous, and good and cannot tolerate sin, and yet God will forgive me. He knows that. He asserts that over and over. That he believes God will forgive him, and God will forgive all those who call on him and ask him to. That's another thing that David is confident about. David is confident that God will judge sin, that there will be a reckoning. That even though the wicked flourish like a green plant, they're going to come undone eventually. And it's just not worth the risk. It's not worth living a wicked life. And David believes that God's judgment is worth waiting for. He may leave us hanging for a while, but God's timing is worth waiting for. And David believes that God is completely trustworthy. And I'm sure there are other points. Yeah, by all means, read through the Psalms and write down some points and share them with the rest of the family. I certainly would love to hear them. I trust others would too. But I've also noticed there are at least four points on which David is absolutely confident, on which David doesn't hesitate. And firstly, David doesn't hesitate to align himself with God. David takes God's side or sides with God. Whatever side God is on is the side David's going to be on. He has no hesitations about that. That's the side he wants to be on. And as such, David will praise God publicly. And sometimes that doesn't go down so well with others. But David's going to do it. And that's, I suppose, a challenge for me in this world. What do I do in that context? And he doesn't hesitate to ask God to judge the wicked. That's probably a bit hard to swallow in our tolerant society where, okay, you can go and do what you want to do, I'll let you do that. But David says, God, judge the wicked, kill them. Well, that's a bit brutal. How do we, this side of Christ, pray for our enemies, love those who hate us? Pray for those who persecute us. Yeah, what does it look like to read this through the lens of the New Testament? And David doesn't hesitate to speak his mind to God. David's not worried what God will think of him if he's honest. He's not worried that God will reject or abandon him if and when God finds out what he's really like. David knows that God knows him inside and out, and he has no qualms about throwing his lot on God, throwing himself before God. God is big enough to handle David's problems, and David unloads regularly on God. God, why won't you just fix my problems? And yet I will wait for you, he says. That's something I need to learn to do, not to come up with some fancy prayer or fancy excuses or say the right things at the right times. God just wants me. God just wants you, and he wants us as we are. He already knows who we are. He already knows what we are. He just wants us as we are, all of us. The whole us, not just what we think is the presentable part. And the fourth point, David doesn't hesitate to throw himself into God's arms. He trusts God completely. He throws his life into God's hands. He knows that God will catch him. God has caught him so many times before. And he knows that it's the only way to live. One psalm in particular of all these psalms that I've been picking through is Psalm 37. And I went through this when I read it with a four-color pen and highlighted a few sections. But first, let me read the whole psalm to you, if you can be patient with me. Psalm 37, this is from the NIV. Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose ways are upright, but their swords will pierce their own hearts and their bows will be broken. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked, for the power of the wicked will be broken. But the Lord upholds the righteous. The blameless spend their days under the Lord's care, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. Though the Lord's enemies are like the flowers of the field, they will be consumed. They will go up in smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be destroyed. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. Wrongdoers will be completely destroyed. The offspring of the wicked will perish. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak what is just. The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, intent on putting them to death. But the Lord will not leave them in the power of the wicked, or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Hope in the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are destroyed, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a luxuriant native tree. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless, observe the upright. A future awaits those who seek peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. There will be no future for the wicked. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. That's a great psalm. There's a lot in that, and someone with more skill than me would have to unpack it all. But I went through with my full colour pen and I highlighted all of the direct commands from David to the Lord's people. And these are what they are. Do not fret or be envious. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Take delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Do not fret for the third time. Turn from evil. Do good. Hope in the Lord. Keep his way. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. Here, David tells us directly three times, do not fret. Don't stress about what's going on. Wait for the Lord. How many times does he say wait? Trust, hope, look forward to, hold back from anger or from wrath, and do what's put in front of you. Do good, he says. And if you're not sure, well, consider the blameless, observe the upright, find a role model, follow them. As for the Lord, I wrote down what the Lord, or underlined what the Lord does here. He will. He will, he will. The first three statements of what the Lord will do, the first three records of his actions are, he will, followed by the Lord laughs at the wicked. The Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. The Lord upholds, Lord loves, will not forsake, will not leave. He will. Lord helps, delivers. He delivers and saves. Our God is a God of action. It's not God watches. God sits on his hands. But God will. He will. He loves. He won't forsake. And the wicked? Well, if you didn't pick it up in my reading, I underlined it here twice. Though you look for them, they will not be found. And then David says of his own experience, though I looked for him, he could not be found. Speaking of a particular wicked man. And the three times I highlighted, do not fret specifically. Trust, wait, hope. Take delight in the Lord. If there's one quote from the Psalms that's often taken out of context, it would have to be Psalm 37:4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And we think, well, I've thought at times, if I want this, then all I got to do is that, and A plus B equals C. God will give me what I want because I'm a good boy. Hasn't worked like that yet. Take delight in the Lord. Align your heart. I need to align my heart to the Lord's will. I need to delight in the things that delight the Lord, and then it will delight the Lord to give me the things that I desire because they're the things that he desires for me. I'll get there sometime. Maybe the other side of glory, not this side. But I'm working on it, trusting the Lord, asking that I might take delight in him. But as for waiting for the Lord, as you can see, I'm sitting in a home here, got the fire going. It's nice and warm. I'm wearing a t-shirt and it's quite cold outside, so I'm happy here. I've got a couch that was given to me. The pool table behind me was also given to me. A dining set that I actually paid for, but so many things have been given here by people's generosity, and this home has been made available by God's generosity. I've been waiting for this home, we thought, we hoped, we prayed, for 18 months now, I suppose. And the Lord has finally brought it to pass, and it's all happened quite quickly in the last couple of weeks. So now I'm living in Orbost, and excited for what God will do in this space. I've already had a couple of visitors, men that I've been seeking to serve in the bushfire recovery stuff, and One guy's he dropped in for a cup of tea and sat 2 meters away on the other side of the table, and we talked for an hour or so of life in general. And I shared with him a little of our dream for this place, of gathering a group of people who love the Lord and genuinely want to care for one another, and maybe for a meal once a week, and to do life together. And this guy doesn't know the Lord yet, but he said that that's a group I'd be interested in being a part of. Let me know what happens. I'd love to be a part of that. So here we are, people seeking life, and life is found in Jesus. So maybe he will be a part of that group, but I pray more than being a part of this group, whatever this group happens to be, that he will come to know the Lord for himself, that he will trust in the Lord, and that many others will also. So yeah, look forward to catching up with you in due course. Read through Psalm 37, highlight things, see how it applies to you. Read through the Psalms and make notes on David's theology. What did David believe about God? I'm sure you can add to the notes that I've come up with, or the points that I've come up with. And yeah, bless you. I look forward to seeing you in person soon.